this word spoken of in that first reading, that is just like the rain that comes down from heaven and does not return to God without having done what it was supposed to do, namely water the earth and create growth and sustenance for humanity, etc. So the word of God that comes down from heaven likewise has its effect. Now, that word and the term word has great significance in the Bible. First of all, it's revelation. The revelation of who God is and the revelation of the destiny for creation and particularly humanity. And for centuries, that revelation was primarily in the scriptures. It was in the prophets and in the law and in the story of salvation. So you have all these stories. The overarching story, of course, is the Exodus, which says so much about humanity, about how we can be darkened by sin and slavery and all those kinds of things, and yet God is always active in some way or another to relieve us from that corruption, from that suffering. And so through Moses and the Red Sea and the wandering in the wilderness and the entrance into the land of Israel, that whole overarching story is just so telling. We can never stop reflecting on the meaning of that story. Okay, so that story is the Bible and many other smaller stories along with it that reveal to us who God is. But the ultimate revelation, which we also call the Word of God, is Christ. Christ, the second person of the Trinity, is the word that God spoke and creation happened. He is the creative word. Everything comes into existence only because God spoke in Christ. And so that word, at some point in the story of salvation, and at some point in human history, takes on flesh and it becomes Jesus. And so the revelation becomes complete and full then at that point. He shows us by his teaching, by his miracles, by his actions, his life, his death, and his resurrection and ascension back to God. He shows us in a human form what that revelation looks like. And in revealing to God to us, he also reveals us to us. He's showing us what the destiny of the human race is, and really the destiny of all of creation. And that is the great return to God, the return to its source. And so theologians have always taught that there is this kind of image of the river of life that flows out from the side of God, that flows out from the temple, which is God, that flows out from the side of Christ as he hangs upon the cross, and he is God. So the source, everything flows out from that source in this great river of life that emanates out from God. But in Christ Jesus, it reverses direction and begins to return to its source. And so in the liturgy, we find ourselves diving into that river and joining in that flow back to God. It's conversion. And conversion, the root word of that is versus, to turn toward. And so if you're going to turn toward God, then you're going to have to put your back to what you thought before. So it's a change of mind, isn't it? It's a change of attitude, a change of lifestyle, a change of worldview. And so when the river of life is flowing out from God, it has its back to God. And so the world and everything that the world symbolizes is kind of against God, you might say. Looking after itself, losing itself in its own desires, the desires of the flesh, the desires of human ideas, of worldly ways of doing and being. But in conversion back to God, we turn around and we put our face in the direction of reality. And those of us who understand this, we know that that is reality. This is a little bit shadowy. It's not quite real. But God, the source and the end, that's what reality is. And so we get converted to what is real. But you have to have some faith before you get that. And so that's why Jesus says to the crowds, I speak in parables. Because what a parable does is it's a snappy little story that draws us in and we identify with the characters in the story and then we get accused. We say, that's me. I'm doing these foolish things. I'm being worldly. I'm being anti-God and I wasn't even aware of it. And so the trick of a parable is it catches you off guard. And so many of Jesus' parables, they have an interesting twist at the end that actually ends up accusing the listeners. And you want to pay attention because every now and then the gospel text will say, and so Jesus spoke this parable to them. And it's quite often the Pharisees, the scribes, the religious leaders. And they're being accused of misleading Israel, of obsessing about things that don't matter and missing the big things that do matter. And so when we hear parables, even though we are converted to a certain extent, but our soil is still a little bit shallow, isn't it? I mean, we all need to deepen our rich, fertile topsoil by faith, by prayer, by liturgy, and by grace. Welcoming the grace that God is pouring down into our lives like rain. But we have to be open to it, and we have to let down the deflector shields. The deflector shields that we put up because of our fears and anxieties, because of our stubbornness, because of our willfulness, you know, whatever it is, we need to let those down so that the Word of God can have its effect on us. But ultimately, it doesn't depend on us. Yes, there are many right things we can do. We can fertilize our soil. We can water it through prayer and virtuous acts. These things are all important, but ultimately it's grace. Ultimately it's God. And that's one of the things that we just have to learn how to live with. Because there's something in the human spirit that wants to control, wants the formula, wants to say, okay, just tell me what I'm supposed to do and I'll do it and I'm saved. But ultimately, it doesn't depend on our actions or our thoughts. It depends on God. God wills to save the world. He wills to save us. And so we become dependent on that will. One example of how that works is in the middle of the Mass, the priest says, pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, our Almighty Father. In other words, we're doing the right things. We're coming here. We've got everything set the way it's supposed to be done. We have the formula. But we're saying by that prayer that it still depends on God. This doesn't automatically make us worthy just because we're following a formula. God decides whether we're worthy. And so in a great sense of humility, we open ourselves to God and say out loud, I know that I'm not in control, you are. And so just we pray that you find us worthy.